All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Chris Persianen works here, and I knew that name before he even started working here because he does a great job for Clutch Points, and I always used to see him because he's a Fordham guy, right? You're a Fordham guy?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and I would always see you on my social media feed, and you'd be putting out all these like NBA nuggets and things like that. But you were all over my social media feed this past weekend with your reporting about the Knicks head coaching search and then your reaction after the Desmond Bane trade. What does that mean for Jaren Jackson Jr.? So I said, you know what? Let's chop it up and talk to someone that I like around here. You know, it's rare that I like someone around here, and Chris Persianen. And I got your name correct, right?
Yes, you did.
Because you were aggregated today, and someone just totally botched that name. And not an easy name. But they just totally messed that up. Like, I think they called you Peruzianen or something like that.
I mean, listen, I often joke that it's like, you know, you let like your dog or cat run across your keyboard. And yeah, that's how I got my last name.
Well, at least they're tagging you correctly, because
yeah,
sometimes
right? Come on.
There's another Zach Gelb, I guess, on social media, and he doesn't even live in the U.S. And he goes, I appreciate my 15 seconds of fame that I get when you break things, because there's one account in particular that tags him. And it's either his name is Zach Gelb or it's Zach Gilb, G-I-L-B,
right.
And he always gets the notifications, and he goes, it's cool being someone that people care about for about 15 seconds.
It's funny seeing, you know, especially in a world now where self-publishing is so prevalent and anyone can get on any app and start reporting stuff. Like, it's funny seeing the amount of celebrities that have a similar name to another celebrity that get yelled at. I mean, we've got one here at the station. Right, we've got a guy who gets screamed and yelled at when the Michigan State Spartans.
Oh, Tom Izzo. Yeah, I actually, funny story. And we were just talking about this before you got on the air about aggregation, and I was telling you about the night where I was at the NBA draft, and I was the one that told Kobe White about his teammate getting drafted. He did the whole wow, wow, wow video that night, though, because I was working for obviously here and WFAN. And they said, if you get any crazy videos, make sure you text Tom Izzo, who's the digital guy. Well, I have Tom Izzo, the Michigan State basketball coach's number. And I have Tom Izzo, obviously, my coworker's number. I've never texted the other Tom Izzo, meaning to text our Tom Izzo. And that night, because I knew this video was going to be big, I just sent the text off quickly. And then 45 minutes later, I realized, because Tom Izzo, our Tom Izzo texted us saying, hey, this is a great video. You know, why did you send it to me?
Wow, I've never seen this video before.
I did send it to you. And I'm like, oh, wait, I texted you. He goes, no, you didn't. I go, oh, I texted the actual Tom Izzo, not the Tom Izzo that works here on the digital side. But anyway, let me get a few reactions and we'll talk about the Knicks. Desmond Bane over the weekend got traded to the Magic for 4 first-round picks. I know there's other things that were included in the deal. I think a lot of people look at this and they go, 4 first-round picks for Desmond Bane, who's a good player, but how do you trade 4 first-round picks? I think a lot of times this is a cross-sport where people are looking at it as if it was 4 NFL picks, 4 NBA picks. I'm going to the draft, by the way. I go each and every year. I love going to the draft. I'm going this year with NBA experiences. They do a great job taking care of me and all that stuff. But right, it's really fun. They give you great seats, and you get all that, and they bring you behind the scenes. And you get all the food and the drinks. It's
awesome.
There we go. I love going. I went last year. It was fantastic, and works again. Let's go out there again. But the NBA draft after last year, the first pick, no one knew who the heck he was, Zachary Rosashier. After 4 or 5 picks of this draft, you really don't know who they are, and the Magic are going to be in a spot where, at worst, they'll be a 6 or a 7 seed for the next 5-6 years. So what's the big deal about trading 4 first round picks?
That's the big thing with me for the Orlando Magic here is the deal. You can't help but notice the parallels between this trade and the New York Knicks acquisition of Mikal
Bridges.
Now there are some key differences. The Knicks did not include any players that were going to be in the rotation in the upcoming season. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope obviously was just a big signing for the Magic, but it also shows the kind of goldfish-like memory you've got to have in this modern NBA landscape with the second apron, with things changing as fast as they do, with stars being able to demand out as often as they can. They signed Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. They said, wow, we're going to give over $20 million a year to this guy. He's going to be so awesome, compliment our young core, do what they can't, do what they can do, but do it without the ball in his hands. He's going to help us. So, and then a year later, flipped. Right, and he gets sent. His championship DNA was the selling point for the Memphis Grizzlies Yeah, that's worked out great for them before with Marcus Smart and Derrick Rose and all the other guards they bring in that are, you know, vets and have this winning DNA to try and mentor Ja Morant. You know, we'll see how that goes. But for me, the Magic did two things, and it's what the Knicks did. The Knicks did two things at the same time as well. They both signaled to the NBA landscape that they think they're a little closer than you think they are, and that this player can help them bridge that gap, no pun intended. But they also...
That was a pun intended.
I may have realized like halfway through the sentence. They also are fading the market for those picks, right? Because if you're planning on being a good team, then like you said, they'll finish top 5-6 in the East. They're not going to pick in the top 20 probably once in the next 5 years, you know, depending on how things shake out with injuries. Of course, that could change, but those picks are all going to be at the end of the first round where the hit rate, forget for a star, the hit rate to get a 10-plus year career out of a rotation guy is not necessarily the NFL's first round. You
sure.
know?
And that's right. We saw Rudy Gobert go for a boatload of picks, and we've seen Bridges go for a boatload of picks. Now we've seen Desmond Bain go for a boatload of picks. I think people should just adjust their previous ways into what it's going to be moving forward. It's still, though, mind-boggling.
Yes.
That Luka Doncic, that's the name that's always going to be. It's almost when you talk about the Hall of Fame in baseball and someone doesn't get in that should get in, and people go, well, how does Harold Baines get in, but this guy can't get in? The Luka Doncic one becomes the white whale, I guess you could say here, where it's, oh, well, Desmond Bain goes for 4. Bridges goes for, what, 5? Yep. Gobert goes for whatever it was, four or 5.
Walker Kessler and 5.
Yeah, and Luka Doncic, I know AD was in that trade, went for 1 first round.
Yeah, and you know that I know it's maybe talking about names like Luka Doncic and other all-time Hall of Famers in MLB, right? Maybe this name is a bit of a polar bear in Texas, but like to me, the De'Aaron Fox trade comes to mind as well. To what extent was that deal influenced by agents, by players? Because when you look at the return that Sacramento got for him, it's not commensurate.
That's one of the worst organizations in sports.
Or the Bridges return. But the Brooklyn Nets got the haul they did from Mikal Bridges, and they're no paragon of success in their history in the NBA. So, you know, to me, I think seeing that go down that way as well, I'm interested to see what the situation is in Sacramento, if that isn't something that other teams try to, you know, pluck another player or two away from.
So what else does Memphis do now? I don't think Morant's getting traded, but the name that you've gone with is Jaren Jackson Jr.
So Shams Charania just reported today on ESPN that the Grizzlies are signaling that they intend to build around Morant and Jackson Jr. Now, that's a clear message, right? Okay, don't call about these guys. We're holding on to them. But, Zach, you've seen enough reports in your life. Sure. If someone's reporting that a team might be signaling that they intend to build it, it seems like at least things are in flux, right? And I would say the Memphis Grizzlies were not going into this offseason planning to trade Desmond Bane to the Orlando Magic. I think they got a phone call and they went, wait, how much? Oh, yeah, we'll talk about this.
Sure.
So things change fast. And we were talking about this earlier. Things change fast in the NBA. So for Memphis, should they now look into what they could get for someone like Jackson Jr. or someone like Morant? Could a team like Houston, after striking out on someone like Kevin Durant, potentially, say they do, say he goes to Miami, would Houston turn around and say, you know what, we've got young talent in the coffers, we've got picks, let's go get Ja Morant and have Udoka build a defensive lineup around his offensive, you know, explosiveness? Like, I think things can change quickly, and the Grizzlies are going to explore what's best for them. I would expect them to want to extend Jackson Jr. this offseason, not move him anywhere, and make sure that if they are going to deal him at some point soon, they're at least they're not selling someone a car that's got 2 months left on the lease, right? Like they're putting an extra 24, 36 months on that car lease and then selling that paperwork to someone.
So your stuff on Jaren Jackson Jr., that was, there's one, was a front office member of the Knicks, that's their dream guy.
At least
to go
one
get?
Key member of the Knicks front office has long coveted Jackson Jr. You know, that could be evidenced potentially if you want to look at it this way, which I think with the Rose front office, it's important to look at things this way. From January 2021 to May 2023, Jaren Jackson Sr., no alliteration there, was an assistant coach on Derek Alston and on Dessogne Diop's staff with the Westchester Knicks, the G League affiliate. Mm-hmm. So this is clearly a relationship, you know, Jackson Jr. previously represented by Rose at CAA. This is a relationship that they want to keep in the family, you know, and I do think it comes down to what does Memphis want to do? Because Jackson Jr. is someone I could see being amenable to a deal to New York, but that's if he's getting moved in the first place.
So I keep on hearing people throw out the Knicks, right, in terms of making a trade, right? You heard it about Durant. That seems as if that's cooled off. Giannis was there for a little bit. There was some weird wording, the tsunami offer.
The tsunami-like offer, yeah.
And I go, well, what's the tsunami-like pieces that the Knicks have? If it was for Jaren Jackson Jr., is that centered around a Bridges deal for Jaren Jackson Jr.?
So in my article for Clutch Points where I talk about the fact that the Knicks have long been interested in Jackson Jr., you know, employed his dad years back, and that that same member of the Knicks front office would see Towns and Jackson as like a dream pairing in the front court. Well, that is something that the team knows you got to give to get. And I would think Mikal Bridges would be the centerpiece in that kind of deal. Someone like Mitchell Robinson fills out the salary, and then that leaves Memphis, you know, able to take Brandon Clark, for example, and some of their other intriguing young talent, maybe Clark and Gigi Jackson and draft capital that they got from, oh yeah, the four picks they got from Orlando. Maybe they could turn around at the trade deadline and be the team that's at the top of those big time offers for big time players. So they've bought themselves some flexibility.
I thought that when the offseason, well, not when the offseason, sorry, it hadn't technically started yet, but when the NBA postseason saw the Bucks get eliminated, I've never been someone that said that the Bucks would trade Giannis, and I never thought Giannis was going to request a trade. I thought that was going to happen. Now I obviously do not. I thought that for 2 or 3 days. But when I thought that, I said to myself, oh, well, if I'm the Spurs, I would go trade for Giannis, and you give up those assets. I also then followed that up by saying Durant to the Heat. Now, with Giannis out of the picture, probably not getting traded, and a lot of people already assumed Durant would go to the Spurs. Now I'm kind of cooling on that. I'm going back to now Durant going to the Heat because Pat Riley is desperate at this stage of his career. He's not any younger. Do you agree that Durant's going to be on the Heat?
I like that take, Zach. I like the thought that the same way that the Golden State Warriors reportedly had interest in Kevin Durant and LeBron James and these big names, and then, you know, oh, Jimmy Butler is available. Oh, let's go do what it takes to land him. I do feel like now the Heat are in that situation where, well, Jimmy Butler was plucked away from them, and now they can replace him with Kevin Durant. They might do just that. To me, it's going to come down to what the Phoenix Suns choose to do here. And I don't mean that with regard to the package they choose in return. I mean the extent to which they choose to placate or please Kevin Durant. If they decide, hey, this guy says he really doesn't want to go to Minnesota, but that's the best offer we got on the table, Kevin, get ready to learn Canada Goose. You know, that could be what happens. And all of a sudden that Miami Heat conversation that had a lot of legs under it, that was, you know, logical, backed up by real process and your thought process and takes, all of a sudden it goes out the window because the Sun said, well, that trade package is just, Rob Dillingham. Ooh, we love him. So it always comes down to stuff like that. I think Miami's a good guess. The Wiggins salary stands out as, you know, a piece to be moved there. And especially with the Suns seeming like they're not going to want too much draft capital, or at least they know where they stand and they know they can't demand too much. Yeah, I would probably rule the Spurs out, even though they're in that final grouping, only because I've heard that the Suns are kind of aware of how flush the Spurs are. The Spurs right now are like DJ Khaled suffering from success. The Suns look at them and they say, yeah, you have a lot to give us. We're going to want more from you than anyone else if you're trading for KD.
The Suns may tell the Spurs another one. Another one.
Another one.
I put out this pie chart the other day, Chris Persian.
I liked it.
And it was Knicks coach, not who I think it should be, but who I think it will be. I put Mike Brown at 27%, Johnny Bryan at 26%. I'm still considering Jason Kidd because he could be a snake, even though the Mavs said no at 23%. Taylor Jenkins, 18%. Michael Malone, 4%. And then a mystery name because you never know what could happen at 2%. Right now, you have to take a guess on the 16th day of June in the year of 2025. Who will be coaching the Knicks this upcoming season?
You know, there's so much in flux with the Dallas Mavericks and Jason Kidd. You know, Billy Donovan, someone that the Knicks showed interest in and who has now gotten a little pay bump, hey, we do appreciate your services around here, a little raise from the Bulls as a result of his for lack of a better term, flirting with the Knicks, right? Kidd, this guy's not flirting. This guy's in full pursuit. He has Brian Windhorst out here saying there's mutual interest. That doesn't surface to the table until, you know, there's actual mutual interest. So for Jason Kidd, I think there's a little bit of a factor with the Mavericks of how bad do you really even want to be here? Like, how much do we have to pay you to feel like you want to work for us? If that sours, I would still say Jason Kidd's the leader in the proverbial clubhouse for the job. If not, yeah, they're interviewing Taylor Jenkins first this week, then Mike Brown. I think they'd go Jenkins over Brown. Not that a potential pursuit of Triple J would be related to that with the Grizzlies connection, but maybe a nice cherry on top if that's how things happen to work out. I would go Kidd number one and maybe Jenkins number two at this point in the process, where the Knicks are realizing, hey, these guys aren't shaking free. We weren't expecting these guys to shake free at the top of our list, but it is just about time with the draft coming up, like you said, in about 2 weeks to, you know, find someone to take this job and that they're comfortable with hiring.
I know that you talked about how, what was it, one member of the Knicks brass did talk to John Calipari.
Yes.
I'm not expecting John Calipari to be the Knicks head coach. Hot take of the day. I know.
Hold your breath.
Is there any other names that maybe haven't been thrown out there that maybe, or situations that maybe people should monitor?
There definitely are, because of the wide net that the Knicks cast at the start of this search. So, you know, we talked a lot, and you know, whether that's out in the newsroom or even just people on social media, everyone's like, oh, who are they going to request next? You know, who are they? That's an example, though, of the extent to which this franchise values conducting its due diligence, or what it sees as its due diligence. And part of that process has involved reaching out to college coaches, NBA assistants, former NBA head coaches. I'll say this. I'll throw this nugget out here. There's one coach in the Big 12 that has the Knicks' interest to an extent, at least to enough of an extent, where I would say he's still a name. Maybe not one of the big fish, you know, circling around the stake in the water, but maybe, you know, one of the little guys underneath, seeing if he can't grab a piece of the action.
Can I take a guess here?
You can take a guess here.
Big 12. Now, when you say big fish and use that, is he a big fish in the Big 12? Because I think of the biggest fish in the Big 12, and I think Bill Self. That would be my thought process.
I'll say no, not Self, and not any Cougar related.
Okay, so not Kelvin Sampson.
No, yeah, those, I feel like those are the two biggest fish. Neither one of those. So the, like, if that's not an example of how deep the Knicks are looking, you know, then I think I don't know what would be. But this is definitely a search that they're interested in making sure that there's alignment at the end of it. We hear that term a lot, but what does it actually mean? Well, you know, someone who will listen. Maybe not always do what the front office wants, but they'll listen.
Could his brother be interested in the job if the Knicks came calling on this Big 12 coach? Is it a Hurley?
I don't have it as a Hurley either.
Okay.
I will say I have heard that his brother
would love the job.
Did have some level of interest in the job, but we know the NIL landscape nowadays. We know that college coaches, and that's why I'm kind of stepping carefully around the other name I mentioned, or won't mention rather, but college coaches very set on keeping their donors happy. That's part of the job description now. And so
I've used up my guesses. Hurley, I'll be respectful.
Dan Hurley is someone I'd say saw the situation early and said, man, I'm probably not going to get this job. Let me not cause civil war in stores by flirting for it like the Lakers gig. So he pulled out right away. I think that was a smart move by him.
Who wins tonight?
That's a great question, Zach. I've got to go with Oklahoma City. I've got to go with Oklahoma City because they are more talented. The Pacers, you know, you want to talk about OKC, all their analytics. The Pacers have the dog per 48 minutes that the Thunder just haven't in some moments. That's why they beat the Knicks. That's why they've beaten teams like the Cavaliers on their way to the finals. I have the Thunder winning tonight because Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, to me, seems so unfazed by the environment he's playing in. Haliburton, we've seen, have a higher peak than maybe Shai with that game winner in game one, but we've also seen the lows are a little lower. So Pacers, I think, win one more game in this series at minimum, but I have the Thunder winning tonight and the series.
Okay, so then you have potentially, it sounds like you're on Thunder in seven is what it sounded like to me.
Yeah, Yeah, I think they've got the best closer in the game of basketball. And I know the Clutch Player of the Year award is a year-to-year thing, but if there was a decade-long award, I would think in about five more years, Shea would deserve it. Ooh, for the last 10.
They're not going to like that on an Indianapolis affiliate right now after doing what Hal Halliburton's done this year.
Shea Gilgeous-Alexander has this... I can only liken it to prime Chris Paul, but it's so different because he's half a foot taller. But it feels like he has this magic wand. Yeah. Where he can pause time on the court, pause the shot clock.
Well, hopefully he wins the championship on like Chris.
Move the defense, bend the floor however he wants it to be, and then attack. And I think maybe those extra 6 inches he's got on CP3 might help him do just that and win a chip.
He does a great job for us here at the Infinity Sports Network. You'd also read him on Clutch Points. He is Chris Persiainen. And Chris, we'll be using you again. Really enjoyed the conversation.
Sounds like a plan, Zach.
Alrighty. Appreciate you. Let's get the latest update in with the Yak Man, Rich Ackerman.